Hi, I'm Leola. I'm a sacred intimacy mentor and muse and the host of this podcast. Talk Tantra to Me introduces a playful perspective on sacred sexuality. My intention in this podcast is to integrate intimacy and spirituality, empowering you to reclaim your eroticism. It is my mission to inspire you to let go of shame, fear, and limiting beliefs to be present as your highest self in every moment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, let's talk Tantra. Hello, lovers, and welcome. I want to start off by saying I am so blessed to be in a position to suggest tips and tools and even products that can help you lead a tantric life of liberation and expansion. And one of my absolute favorite places to purchase spiritual and sexy items is Wands. Wands.com, spelled W-A-A-N-D-S. Wands sells, you guessed it, crystal pleasure wands, along with so much more, including yoni eggs, free bleed blankets, other amazing products for yoni steaming. I've been using these products and products similar to them for the better part of a decade, and they have been incredible allies in my journey of sexual healing and expanding my orgasmic potential. And I'm so grateful to be friends with the owner, Courtney. She's amazing. She has so generously provided us all with a discount code for 15% off. And that code is Leola. L-E-O-L-A. You can use it on their website, www.wands.com. Again, the code is Leola, L-E-O-L-A, for 15% off. I'll also make sure that this is linked in the show notes. So thank you for listening, and you're welcome for the inevitable pleasure and healing that is coming your way with these products. Now let's get into the episode. Welcome to Talk Tantra to Me. It is such an honor to be holding space for this divine knowledge to make its way into your ears and lifestyle. Today, I talk Tantra with one of the hottest people I know, Julia Vio. She is a sex and sensuality coach, and she is also a great friend of mine. I've been wanting to have her on the podcast for a long time, and I'm so excited that we're here, and it feels like such divine timing, the way things have woven in our personal and professional lives. And yeah, it's just like the perfect timing. So to give people a little bit of a background, I met Julia about 2 years ago, and it was also like a divine timing moment because I was just moving to Austin. And I also had a new lover who also had a lover in Austin, who is Julia. And I remember him telling me, yeah, like my other lover also lives in Austin. And I looked you up and I was like, oh my God, she's so hot. And like there was a part of me that was like, a little jealous. And also like a part of me that was like, she's so hot. Like I want to be friends with her at the same time. And how do I like find that balance within me? And very quickly, I feel like I moved away from the fear and the jealousy. And then I just like really became enamored by you and like wanted to spend time with you. And also it was like sensitive because we had this shared lover and like he was sensitive about it too. And I was like, I want to meet her. I want to meet her now. And I'm like bratty. Yes. Anyways, what's your take?
Yeah, such a mirroring experience over here. I remember him coming home from an adventure and telling me he had connected with you, and he told me your name, and I think that you had like kind of a following, and I looked you up on Instagram and was instantly like, oh my God. I was like, no, because you were just like so beautiful and powerful and cool. And I feel I moved into the desire to meet you pretty quickly as well. I remember thinking that if we didn't have a shared lover, we would already be friends, and advocating for that to happen. And I feel like it's been such a sweet journey with you. I remember our first meeting and definitely it being a little awkward and just like, we're like metamors meeting. And now I feel just so close and happy to have you in my life. And like you're a real blessing. And I'm grateful that you came into my life through that lover.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember the first time you came over, you brought me flowers. And I was like, this is so sweet. I love this.
Yeah.
And there was like there was an awkwardness, but and it's been like a journey. Like there's been moments where it's been like crunchy and weird, and maybe not so much since I exited that relationship. But it has been like all over the place, but I'm really happy that we've moved through it all and actually created like really beautiful sisterhood in depth and been in a place where we really see each other for who the other is and are like totally in celebration. Like, I love what you're creating. I love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're so amazing. And if you haven't checked out Julia's content, which all this will be in the show notes, she is stunning and also brilliant, like so brilliant in the world of sensuality and sexuality and self-expression and self-love. And yeah, she's incredible. So with that being said, I'd love to hear how you got here. Like, what was your journey to become a sex and sensuality coach?
Yes. Before I speak to that, one thing you just said really rang true for me and is something that I'm really passionate about. And it's moving out of being afraid and feeling attacked by other powerful women and actually feeling excited and like collaborating and just feeling like allyship with the other amazing women in the room. And I feel like in our journey, I've gotten to land there with you. And that doesn't mean it was easy. Like there was a time where kind of like my hackles went up, like other hot women. And I like enjoy that process of getting to like relax and feel safe and feel like there's space for all of us and that we actually get to be connected and make each other better, like better together. So that's like, I just love that we've gotten to live that.
Me too. Thanks for going deeper on that. I totally agree.
Yeah. So how I got here, basically growing up, I felt so not hot. And for most of my young life into my mid-20s, I felt undesirable, like unsexy. I never had a boyfriend all through high school and college. And I grew up with friends who were definitely like having connections and having sex and having boyfriends. So it wasn't like I was growing up where that wasn't happening. It was definitely happening. It just wasn't happening for me. And I really didn't know how to be connected to my juiciness. And it was a huge desire. It was a pain point and it was a desire. And so I feel my life has been a journey to find that part of myself and cultivate that. And I actually feel I've arrived there now, which is so cool looking back. And I'm often sending little, you know, psychic memos to my inner 16-year-old who felt like I would never be seen as beautiful or never have a boyfriend or never have sex. And now I'm like, look, babe, like we made it.
That gives me chills hearing you say I'm sending psychic messages to my inner teen is like so beautiful. I do that too in different ways, not necessarily about this piece, but I really, really like that.
Yeah. So there was kind of a journey. Looking back, I feel like this work of embodying sexiness and sensuality and bringing that to other people, I actually feel like that's who I am and who I've always been meant to be. It's like why I'm here on earth. And I think that having the disconnection from it in my younger years is perfect because it gives me empathy and compassion for people who are struggling in that area. Whereas if it just always came to me naturally, I'd be like, you just do it, you know, like it's just easy. And since it wasn't easy for me, I feel like I'm better equipped to help people with that now. And I feel in some ways I just followed the breadcrumbs of the universe. And in a nutshell, I feel like ecstatic dance and movement was kind of the first place that I started to find my erotic energy. And it was a place that I was moving that energy, not really with anybody else but myself, but it was kind of the first unlocking. And down the road, the universe led me to the strip club. I became a stripper when I was 25. And at that time, 25 years old, I already thought I was too old. I thought I was too old and not hot enough to be a stripper. And yet the universe kind of led me there. And I finally got up the courage to go there. And
can you tell about how that happened? Because I feel like it's a good, I feel like you told me this, but like cliff notes maybe, but I feel like it's a good story.
Yeah. So at the time I was working at a fancy sushi restaurant in Austin. I had graduated college. I was kind of having my first experience of working and paying my rent. And I barely made enough money at this restaurant. Like, even though it was one of the fanciest places in Austin, it was like, I was scraping. Yeah. And I would go out dancing downtown all the time. And because I was so into ecstatic dance, I would go downtown and I would just dance like nobody had ever seen before. Like, I gave no fucks, and people would come up to me and be like, "Who are you? Are you a dancer?" And other strippers actually started coming up to me when I would just be out asking me if I was a stripper. And I was like, "No, but secretly I want to be, but I don't think I'm good enough." I finally kind of started talking about it with my friends. I started telling my close friends that I wanted to do that. And one of my friends told me, "Well, if you want to be a stripper, you need to perform at this party that my friend was throwing," which was basically a DIY strip club where anyone could perform. And that was terrifying for me. But this friend who suggested it was like, "I'm going to come over and I'm going to help you plan your dance and you're going to do this. And it's with our friends." And so I did. I performed. Like, that was the first time I like took clothing off on stage, and I loved it. And a week later I went into the club and got hired, which was its whole own kind of hazing. Like, when I first got hired at a club, they would only hire me for the day shift and they wouldn't let me work nights. And the club managers basically told me that I wasn't hot enough. Like, I got to really face some of my biggest fears in the club. They told me, like, the exact quote that I will never forget. One of the managers called me into the office and said, "Guys at the club want Kim Kardashian and you're bohemian." And he was telling me that, like, I was too weird and, like, wasn't kind of put together enough. And so I had a whole journey, even once I became a stripper, of kind of figuring out my vibe there. And that was very much a laboratory and a playground for me to find myself. Because I am unique. Like, I don't think I look like the typical stripper you would think of. But I do think that now I've landed in this place where people see me and I'm really embodying that archetype. Like, it makes sense, even though I'm different. So yeah, that's a lot. But that's a little bit of how the journey started.
Yeah. Like, you are so beautiful and gorgeous. And like, it's a different, like, it's like, to me, I am actually not super attracted to, like, stereotypically just, like, I don't know, like, the media's depiction of, like, a hot person. Like, it feels like contrived to me. And I really am attracted to people that have, like, an interesting look and are also just, like, really embodied in their sexuality and their beauty. And, like, that's so clearly you across the board. And I feel like, I don't know, it's just really interesting. But I'm curious, with going into the club, being like a new venture, like, were you afraid to tell your friends about it and your family? Like, what was that like?
That's such a good question. The answer is absolutely yes. I told my closest friends knew what I was doing, but there was many years, I think about 6 years, that I was in the closet publicly and with my family. So my family didn't know, and I didn't post about it online. Eventually, maybe about 5 years in, I made a secret second Instagram account called Jules Breaks the Rules. And Jules Breaks the Rules, now I'm like, maybe that's a silly name. But at the time, it was about me breaking all of the rules of what I was taught was okay. And mm-hmm. like me being a stripper was not what I was taught was okay. And so yeah. I had to break a lot of rules to kind of pave my own path. And I had many years of being afraid that my family would disown me if they knew. I actually remember, because when I started dancing in Austin, which is where I'm from, my mom also lived here. She doesn't anymore live here. But I used to be terrified that she was going to see my car in the strip club parking lot. For about a year, I was terrified of that. And then I kind of realized, one day I was actually in the car with my mom and we drove by a club, and I realized that my mom wasn't looking in the parking lots of strip clubs. And that like helped. And today my mom does know about that part of my life, and she has greeted me with unconditional love. I don't think she likes it, and we definitely don't talk about it a lot, but she told me when it did come out, she told me that there's nothing I could do that would make her not love me. And that as long as I'm not hurting myself or anybody else, that she's okay with it. So that was such a healing moment in my life.
Okay. I love this. So what's next? What happens next? What's your experience in the club like? Where does this lead you?
Yeah. So working in the club was such a like coming into my sexuality. And the club is a difficult place. The club is there's high highs and there's low lows. And ultimately it's just super draining. And what I started to realize, probably about 2 years in, I started to realize that I definitely loved working in the realm of the erotic, but that there's only so deep people are willing to go in the strip club. And I started to feel like I wanted to have deeper interactions than people are available for at the club. Like the club is a bit shallow. It's like, hey, hi, dance. And like, yeah. I'm this person who's like, I want to connect. Like, I want to like get in there. I want to like, have an intimate experience. And by intimate, I don't necessarily mean sexual. To me, intimacy means like connection, feeling seen and heard and gotten and like present with another person. So I was wanting that. And it's hard to find people who really want that in the club.
Yeah. And I think that, sorry, do you mind if I share something?
No, please.
I think that like what I've seen is possible at the club, but isn't the standard, is that like transformation can happen. And like, you can have a spiritual experience either watching these women or interacting with them. And it's really, really powerful. And like, that's not necessarily the standard. It takes someone that has a like a foundation or a desire to have that to really experience that, but it's totally possible.
Totally. Yeah. So I would have those experiences. Maybe let's say 5% of my experiences would be like that. And I'd be like, that's what I want. And then 95% can be kind of like unfulfilling and like crunchy or shallow or downright infuriating. And so that's how I first got the impulse that I wanted to get trained to be a sex coach. And stripping helped me pay to get trained as a sex coach. And I actually feel that my training as a sex coach and my IRL live experience at the club have both really informed me and my gifts. And I feel like both of those make me better at the other. The club really taught me how to connect quickly with just about anybody, and also to like open my erotic energy with people. Like I feel pretty good at doing that. And that helps me in my coaching work. And my coaching work gave me this whole library and language and way of seeing people and having skills to help them, that gives me a lot more compassion and love for the people at the club. So I really like doing both, actually, and I'm doing both now, although I've minimized working at the club quite a bit just because of how intensive it is on my energy.
Yeah. And I feel like there's probably a better use for your talent and skills to create transformation. Like, I remember when I was an English teacher, I taught English as a foreign language, and I always wanted to be a teacher, and it was great to be a teacher. But at the end of the day, it was like, this is not the best use of my teaching skills. Like, I could teach something else, you know? Yes. That's like a way different example, but that's what it feels like to me for you.
Totally. And I love that you've landed in, like, it feels now you've landed in the teaching that feels most aligned for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Would you be open to sharing like one really powerful experience that you had at the club that really like showed you your gift/power/influence/transformative ability?
Yes. Let me tune in. When I feel into that, I don't really have one experience, but I have a feeling of kind of the tone of experiences that feel delicious to me there. And, you know, the way I see the club, and this is not how everyone is being at the club. It's just kind of how I be at the club, which is, I feel like in our world, people are starving for presence, for touch, for the feminine, for erotic energy. And I feel like I get to be nourishment for people who really need it. I think that it's sacred. I think that it's healing and beautiful. And a lot of times I've learned kind of just to do what I'm doing without talking about it. But a lot of times when I'm having an interaction with someone, I'll have these experiences where I feel into this man and his life and his loneliness and his hunger for more. And even like sometimes I'll think about his inner child. I can kind of see like the little boy in him, and I'm giving him a dance and having fun and sharing my body and my eros with him and just beaming love at him. And like, really feels like I get to be a living blessing. And when people are aware, kind of like you were saying, like when people have the capacity to take that in, they might not even know what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I do have experiences where people are just like, holy fuck, like I had no idea I was going to meet someone like you. I had no idea it could be this yummy and connected. And I really get off on that, on the holy fuck. Like, I'm like, yes, thank you for getting it. I'm doing magic right now. I don't try to like tell, I'm not like, hey, so just so you know, I'm going to beam love at you, but I just do it. And the people who can feel it can feel it. And it's so fun. And I'm thinking of one other piece, which is the strip club requires you to build a lot of resiliency. And I actually, because of that, I feel I have a lot more compassion for men, because to approach someone and try to strike up connection with them and to get rejected again and again, that's an experience that women have at the strip club that they're not necessarily having a lot in life. And so I feel so much compassion for men who have to be the initiators of connection in our world. And I feel like it's also built this resilience in me, because there's definitely moments where I'm close to naked on a stage in the middle of the room being totally ignored or just being not seen, or people are sometimes rude. And I have this practice when I'm dancing on stage in particular, which I love to be on stage, and I dance for myself and I dance for God, and it's like I dance the dance for a bigger reason, and then it matters less like if I'm getting tipped or if people are paying attention to me. And there's just so many ways I feel the club has built my strength to show up and be myself, regardless of if I'm getting the reception that I want to get.
Yeah. I'm dancing for myself and I'm dancing for God. There's been so many beautiful little nuggets that you've said. And also when you were talking about actually doing the dance and like beaming love and like, I'm like a living blessing, like it's all so beautiful and juicy. Yeah. And like, I go like to the club probably like once every few months with my husband and or my friends. And for us, it's also like a spiritual experience and it's a learning experience. Like you're witnessing around you, like what kind of energy is really like inspiring people and like getting other people to move their energy and like just throwing a bunch of money on women is like, feels really just like abundant and like, and it's just like, yes, like I want to celebrate. I don't know. It's, there's so many different tones of it that feel really deep actually, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anyone's listening, mm-hmm. this is your permission to give yourself a chance to check that out.
Totally.
Hello, lovers. Please bear with me for a brief interruption with a vulnerable share and offer from my heart. So when I first began my journey with spiritual intimacy and sacred sexuality, all I could afford were books and free podcasts. I was just out of college in my early 20s and honestly very, very broke. And I'm so grateful for all the complimentary, kind words and affordable wisdom that have gotten me where I am today. Price shouldn't deter you from healing. It shouldn't deter you from living the life you love or from reclaiming the most powerful energy in your body. It's my belief that time and commitment are also very powerful investments, especially when you're just dipping your toes in the water. You'll know when it's time to make the bigger cash investments in your journey, but let's begin together today with free love from my heart to yours. As you've already discovered, this podcast is free and it includes so much life-changing wisdom, but I'd also love to guide you to some free offers that are on my website, including a downloadable sexual shadow work workbook and a pleasure positive meditation. Both of these resources are amazing places to start in integrating the tantric principles of expansion and liberation into your life. And you can access these at www.talktantratome.com/free or find a direct link in the show notes. Now let's get back to the episode.
I want to say as well, like, there's something I love about the grittiness of it. And, you know, in our community, there's lots of tantra this and like sacred sexuality that. And I kind of love, I mean, I love the tantra world and the community we're in. And I'm so fucking grateful that we've been initiated into a realm that's that yummy. Mm-hmm. And I feel there's something also yummy for me about the club in its darkness, in its maybe like basic bitchness, in its toxicity even. And sometimes it's fun for me to be like an angel in a dark place. I feel like I get to stand out, like my vibration stands out in a place like that. Yeah. And it's also the place where people need us, you know, mm-hmm. like people need to have that love brought to them because they're not swimming in it like we are in our community.
That is so, so, so true. And you can tell the women who really are in that vibration and how people respond to it. Like generally speaking, you can tell if a woman is there dancing for herself, dancing for God versus one that's like not. And generally my experience is like the woman that's dancing for herself and dancing for God generally people feel it and they respond very well to it.
Totally. And,
you know, it's interesting because the practice of tantra really is about seeing God in everything. And it's easy to see God in like the beautiful flower and like the woman that's like in the white dress and like all of that. That's great. And it's a more advanced practice to see if you can find God in these more gritty, dirty places. And that there's a lot of power in that and a lot of beauty. So I really like that.
Yeah. I want to say one final thing on the club, which is just it's almost like a little grain of salt, because I feel like the way I'm talking about it and approaching it, it feels very like delicious. And
yeah,
and there's a glamour about the club. Especially right now, I feel there's a glamour about being a stripper and everything that is. And I just like to add a piece that's like, it can be dark in a dark way though, too. It can be a lot. It can be heavy. It can really impact women and men in different ways. And so, yeah, I just want to mention that it's a hard place. It's a really hard job. It's not, I think sometimes people think like, oh, you just be hot and people just give you lots of money. And I think it can actually be like such a challenging and maybe even traumatic experience at times. And I just want to make sure that I don't glaze over that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting world because it is a place where there's lots of potential to create abundance. And there's a whole other reality that comes with that. And like what it like, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's lots of different things that you have to do to keep yourself safe and feeling regulated and all the pieces. So that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if I could say just one last sentence, I would say that if anyone who's listening is a dancer or wants to be a dancer, my number one piece of advice would be don't stop developing yourself in other realms. Like, don't get lost in the club because it's a dead end that will suck you dry. And you need to be creating other openings for yourself down the line. And for me, the healthiest I've felt in my relationship to the club is when I've done it the least, when it's become like less of my pie of work, less of my like percentage. And that's how I feel the most in balance. And I've been able to get there because I've opened up other places that I'm doing my work and have trained myself and learning and growing. So keep doing that.
Yeah. You read my mind. I was going to ask, what would you recommend for people who were thinking about getting into that world. So, and I feel similarly even about, you know, tantric body work, which I really love doing and is quite different from stripping, but there is also like, it does take a lot of energy and it can be draining. And like, and for me, it's been like, I still do tantric body work as a part of my practice, but I feel really good now where it's like, I'm only doing a couple of sessions a month and really being intentional about when I'm doing them and who I'm doing them with and all of those pieces. Mm-hmm. And though like for years, it was my primary source of income and like I used it to open other doors and yeah. I still love doing it. And every time I do a session, I feel better after, but there was a period of time where like it was more because I was taking on a lot in that way as well. So
totally. Yeah, that rings true. So true for me. And it feels like you've used it as a stepping stone. And that's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So where does this take you now? I want to hear about like what you're passionate about these days. Like I see you're doing the sex and you're doing the sensuality coaching. You're in all these different containers, helping out, facilitating. And yeah, like, how are you feeling about where this has brought you today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So today I get to be an intimacy coach, which I do sessions both online and in person. And it feels like an extension of, it's kind of like what I always wanted to do. And now I get to do it. I feel a little stumped. I'm like, what do I say?
Let me give you a better question. I'm going to own that. I was like, I want to transition to something completely different, but yeah. I feel like we're talking about one portion of life and do we need to like, okay, clear that. So what I want to say is I see you as a leader in this space of sensuality and sexuality and expressing yourself. And particularly, I've loved the conversation that you've been bringing lately around feeling hot as fuck. And so before we go into like all of the nuances of that, what does that mean?
Thank you. Yeah. So hot as fuck has become one of my mantras for my work and my business. And to me, feeling hot as fuck, it all started from this post I made maybe 2 years ago that said, letting yourself feel hot as fuck is a spiritual practice. And from there, it's grown into something that I talk about a lot, partly because it's just one of my life practices. Like, it's still something I'm cultivating and being with on the daily. It means letting go of the conditioning that says you're not allowed to be hot, that wanting to be hot is shallow or vain. And to me, letting yourself feel hot as fuck is about doing the inner work and the outer work of really aligning with who you were meant to be. So I believe that when we change how we're feeling about ourselves and the thoughts we're thinking and, you know, our way of being from the inside, that it ripples out to change how we look on the outside. And I also believe that making changes to how we look on the outside can like sink into how we think and feel about ourselves inside. So to me, there's kind of like both pathways matter, and we can't just work on one or the other. They come in tandem. And that's really what is emerging from me as like something the world wants to know from me.
Yeah, I feel like this is such a powerful and important conversation for everyone. And I know like, and it's throughout your life too, because I know for myself, I'm in a period where I've generally felt like I've always had body dysmorphia and issues with my body. And like, I feel like I'm finally just like feeling really good in my body, like over the past couple of years, and then like starting to get older and it's easier to gain weight and like all of these things. And like, I'm still only 30. Like, it's like, what, like, you know, so it's like this idea of feeling hot as fuck is, I think, no matter, even if you feel like you're a hot person, like there's still going to be those days and you're still going to get old and there's still going to be the things. So like, it's not about always having this like objective hotness, but it's more of like, are you feeling hot as fuck and that radiates out? And also, how can you know, treat your body like a temple and use ornamentation as a spiritual practice to feel hot. And I loved like one of your posts too was about like taking selfies as like a spiritual practice for feeling hot too. So I'm feeling like, let's talk next about like what keeps us from feeling hot as fuck, like the conditioning and the double standards, like pieces like that.
Totally. Yeah. I think that deep down, everyone wants to feel hot. Everyone wants, and hot feels like, it feels like vibrant, alive, worthy of being seen, worthy of attention, worthy of asking for what you want. It's flirtatious. Like, I'm really big into kind of flirting with the world and just having my erotic energy be part of how I live my life. And all of this stuff has been totally shamed. I feel like there in every single age or phase of life, there's a reason why you're not allowed to be hot. It's either like, if you're too young, you're like precocious and promiscuous and you're a slut, or like, then you're married and you're like not allowed to be hot unless you're behind closed doors with your spouse, or you're a mom and you're not allowed to be hot because you have a child, or you're old and you're not allowed to feel hot because there's wrinkles on your face. You know, like there's always a something. And like I said, when I was telling a little bit about my journey, from the time I was 25, I felt like I was old. And that's just so sad and fucked up to me. And then there's a whole other piece for women in particular, where I feel like women have been taught that they're supposed to look hot. There's kind of a like, you should look sexy, but women get very shamed when they actually feel or express their sexual energy. So there's a whole piece around look hot, but actually even do things to look hot that feel uncomfortable and disconnect you from yourself. And that's not at all what I mean when I say hot as fuck. Like, hot as fuck is way more about how you feel. kind of like you just said, it's about how you feel. And that vibrates out to be very magnetic. Whereas if you're hyper focused on how you look, there can be this perfectionist energy that's like a real turnoff to yourself and everyone around you.
Ah, yeah, I resonate with all of that. And it's also like, so in a way, it becomes a rebellion to be hot and to feel hot and to express your sexuality. Like it is, you know, I think that part of the reason why people don't like or people are threatened by hotness or sexual expression or sexy women is that there's a lot of power there. There's so much power in a woman that's like embodied in her sexuality and feels good. Like there's so much there. And that makes her harder to control, and she might influence other people, like other women, to stand up for themselves. And like it be, and I think that it's just something that's living in our psyche underneath, and we're not aware of it. And it's like also this like ownership culture where it's like, well, if you're being hot as fuck, then like anyone can consume you. And that means that there's not enough for me to consume. Like there's so many weird little stories that get like sticky with it. And I also want to be real. Like I was at facilitating a retreat over the weekend, and this theme came up. We were talking about the inner child and what you learned about like how to express yourself sexually and what that means. And like so many women were saying, like, I've learned that it's not safe for me to express my sexuality or feel hot or whatever. And it's like, yeah, actually, like it's not safe everywhere. I mean, like planet wide and even just like in the US and like,
totally.
Yeah. And so it's like knowing the difference between when like this is an energy and how can I hold this energy regardless? And also like, how do I feel into the safety of my expression and my sexuality? Mm-hmm. And when can I also be the rebel and push the edges and be evidence for others in it? Mm-hmm. I just went off on a little tangent. I'm not sure if you have anything to add, but
I do. I'm so glad you brought that piece. And I think as I've kind of spoken to different people about what blocks them from letting themselves feel hot, a big fear is getting too much attention, being inundated, feeling unsafe, or in a milder version, just feeling overwhelmed by attention, unwanted attention. Yeah. And so I feel there is, I love that you brought that. And part of the work of letting yourself show up in a bigger, brighter way in the world is being able to also strengthen your boundaries. And I would say kind of your force field, like part of letting yourself feel hot as fuck is getting a bit more unfuckwithable, because you have to, like, you have to be able to shut down conversations you don't want to have or kind of repel people that you're not wanting to engage with. And on another note, there's a whole sisterhood piece where I feel like a big thing that stops people from shining is, what will the other women think of me? Will other women be triggered by me? Will I be seen as too much? You know, we all want to kind of like have connection and feel close with sisters. And there's a fear that if I'm too big and too bright, it will turn people off and push people away. So there's so many pieces. One piece I'm thinking of on that note is that I've written some posts about this, which is like, when you really step into shining in your hotness, that part of it is about getting okay with triggering people. Mm-hmm. And I actually believe that triggering people is a service to them. I think when people get triggered by someone shining bright, it's just their self saying like, I want to shine bright too. And I'm scared, or I don't know how. And I think that that kind of trigger can be healing for people, and it will be inspiring for other people.
Yeah. At the very least, it's planting a seed. I want to close the loop on that piece of like, it's not safe, or I'm going to get all this unwanted attention for my sexuality. Because at the end of the day, it's my opinion that like the pieces of the feminine that we've been conditioned to be afraid of, like our sexuality and like our intuitive gifts and our more primal nature, is like the way to actually master those and to create more safe, the way to create more safety around those themes is actually to master them. Mm-hmm. And then you mm-hmm. start to learn to create discernment and boundaries because it's expressed. So like creating safe spaces for you to explore them and then amplifying it with the discernment and the mastery that you've created in the process.
Yes, totally. I love
but
that.
I do want to talk more about this triggering people piece because it's so big. Like you and I both, I think, have like presences online where we're very hot. We're very, we're doing like hot shit. We're doing hot girl shit.
Hot girl shit.
And it was, yeah, like when I first saw, going back to the beginning, when I first saw Julia's content, I was like, okay, like it was interesting because at the time I had actually, before I got into this work, I did a lot of freelance modeling and mostly nude modeling and mostly like artistic kind of stuff. And it was this balance where I always really enjoyed like expressing my body that way. And I truly saw the nude form as like this work of art, and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. And there's all these people that are sexualizing the nudity and like realizing, okay, nudity isn't inherently sexual, and like sexualization's okay too, but like where is the line? And like it's mm-hmm. always been a little soupy for me, but at the end of the day, feeling this, like I know that this is an expression of my love for the human experience and my body and my emotions and art, and but also like It took a while to get there, and most people aren't there probably and will never get there in their life, feel like that comfortable with their expression and their nudity and even want to share it, like let alone like explore that. But to me, it's like, I love it. Like, I'm like, I love seeing, like, I'm not bisexual. Like, I don't get anything from your content except for like, holy goddess, like that is insane. Like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. And then you also create this like this artful story with it too. Like you have beautiful words that you pair with your images and poetry. And like I used to write poetry, and so I feel similarly that it's like every piece of content that I put out that has like maybe some sensual component is also educational or inspirational in a way. And it triggers people. So let's talk more about that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love this. I've been on such a journey with what I share. It feels like another piece that I didn't set out to be a nude model. It's kind of just come through is how it feels. It's just sort of happened. And it's one of my favorite art forms is creating images with my body, with photographers, or with myself. It definitely helps me see myself, because I can forget my own beauty. I think we all can. Like sometimes I don't feel hot and I don't feel attractive, and seeing my images reminds me of who the fuck I am. And I've definitely worked through / am working through a lot of fear, and I'm deconditioning myself around what's allowed and what's okay. I've definitely had experiences where people are like judging me for what I'm putting out there. I've had a big fear that lovers will be triggered by the way I'm sharing myself with the world, that my family would be triggered by it. And another big one I've worked through / am working through is the fear that I will lose credibility or won't be thought of as smart and wise and like a good coach or a good mentor because I'm naked.
Yeah. And, you can't be sexy and smart. You can't be sexy and successful. It's just not allowed.
Totally. And so I originally had kind of two accounts. Like I had my stripper sexy account and I had my coaching account, and I was terrified that either one would find out about the other. I really used to think that my coaching clients, if they knew that I was a stripper, that they would lose all respect for me. Mm-hmm. And where I've landed years into this process is that the right people will be inspired by that version of my expression, and that it's me living my most expressed life, and that that's what I'm wanting to help people do. So if I'm not doing it, then who the fuck will? I do sometimes still have a feeling like any hot picture of me needs to come with a wise caption. Otherwise, it's lame or it's dumb or it's something. And so that's something I've been working through. And it's a journey.
Yeah. Every once in a while, like maybe once a year, I'll post some like beautiful photos and be like, I'm not going to say anything like about this and just share a hot photo and be like, and this is what it is, you know? But it's edgy. It's edgy for sure. And I love that you brought up the piece around credibility with work because yeah, I've had that too. And I'm sure there's people out there that like love what I'm saying and are like, not working with me because of that. I even shared this before the call with Julia that just today, one of the participants in one of my programs decided to step out because her husband was afraid that she would become me, that she would start to like show up in this way. And she can, like, that's all good. And that's not really what my work is about. That's not what your work is about. Like, our work isn't about telling people to like get naked and post photos on Instagram. It's about, let me help you find your definition of sexual liberation, which could look like this, or it could look completely different. It could look like conscious celibacy. It could look like actually dressing less, you know, provocatively. It could look like keeping your sacredness and sexuality with one person and like practicing really in that way, or it could look anywhere in between or like us, I don't know, you know?
Right.
But it's really interesting. And then also with my partner, my husband, this is like a whole story on the podcast somewhere, but basically I dressed like in a hot outfit to go to church and he was like triggered as fuck.
I listened to that podcast episode. That was so good.
I think it's like episodes 97 and 98, High Vibe Relating Part 1 and Part 2. But what it did was it actually like called him forth, like me being in my divine, sensual, feminine expression helped him heal some of his conditioning and projection around these pieces and realize like, oh, like if I'm really like we're going to church, if I'm really like a son of God, like who am I to be in this energy of like judging? Like that doesn't make any sense. So I think there's lots of power.
Yes. I love that so much. I love that story and that you brought it right now because I feel like it really captures this piece that I live by, which is surrounding myself with people who are magnetized by my authenticity. And I really feel like when we are our true selves moment by moment, and you know, that's constantly changing day by day, moment by moment, the right people will stick around and the ones that don't will go. And that's actually okay. And that's part of hot as fuck as well, is like being willing to turn some people off and have them leave because it's not aligned.
Yeah, I'd love to get into like the hot goss on like specifically the one post about what that one guy said. Like, so Julia, yeah. As like, and you can add more to this, but she had posted this like gorgeous video of her like in a shower and like it looks like a church. Like the shower looks like a cathedral and it's gorgeous. You take it from here.
Yes. So I posted this shower video. It was gorgeous. It's always, I would just say, just to be real, it's always edgy for me to show up in that way. Even still, I love it. I like maybe get high on the edge of it, but it's edgy to post that kind of stuff. And somebody commented, I don't know when, day later, commented, not gonna lie, this video is not about a shower. It's about you wanting attention and the animal lust of males. And I had like one moment when I read the comment of being like, ah. And then I was like, yes, I do. And I responded to his comment and said, I do love attention and the animal lust of males. And I screenshotted it and I posted it on my stories because it felt like such a moment of, it's like the thing people are afraid of if they show up in a sexy way is that people are going to say, well, you just want attention and you're just like, you just want men to be turned on by you. And really how I feel about it is that we all want attention. Every single one of us. As I've thought about it more, I really believe that attention is one of the most precious resources in the world. We all need it. Not only do we want it, but we need it. And it's so precious. Like, it is the thing that Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc. are harvesting, our attention. So it's a precious resource. And so much of my work in the world is inspiring the animal lust of males. I believe, like, and females, I really believe in our world, we need more animal lust. I'm wanting to unlock that so we can all experience more of that. I think it's yummy. I think it's another thing that we need. It's another part of ourselves that we have, like, hidden down in the shadow in the basement. And I'm like, let's get that out. That is what I'm here for. So it felt like a powerful moment of, like, ninjaing his comment and using it as a moment on my page to say, like, this is the kind of comment that shuts people down from being themselves and making their art and dressing how they want. And I don't stand for that. like, this is what we need to work through so we can be our fullest selves.
Yeah. And the more you show up, like, fully authentically as yourself, as you said, the more people you're going to attract on that vibration, and the more you're inspiring other people and creating safety for other people to express themselves how they want to express, whether it looks like this or something else. Like, I definitely find myself, like, there are moments where, like, I travel these beautiful places and I'm always, like, filming something and I'm like, oh, like, I've already posted, like, 3 photos of my ass this week. Like, is it too much to do another one? I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I have all the permission. And people love it. And, like, they, like, it's, and I love getting the attention. I love, like, seeing, like, people responding and sharing and, like, resonating not just with, like, the beauty, but also what I'm saying about the beauty and, like, life and, like, this moment of freedom in my body is a microcosm of the freedom of the rest of my life as well. And we all want freedom, you know? Yes. And to me, that's what Tantra is about. It's liberation and expansion. And
yes, I deeply bow and thank you for sharing your beauty with us. To me, it's such medicine, and you are extraordinarily gorgeous. And the fact that you share that with us is nothing but a blessing. And it takes guts. Like, it takes, you have to, it's like, it's, for me, when I think about that, it takes years of undoing the conditioning that says you're not allowed to do that. Yeah. So I see you as such a way shower, and, like, you've paved the path. And there's moments when I have that same question of, like, is this too much? Like, what is the point? Like, is this okay? And I continue to get the reflection that it's creating such a permission field for other people to be in their fullness. And you are just like that as well. So I see you.
Thanks, babe. I love this.
more booty videos.
All right. I'm feeling slowly landing this conversation. Is there anything else you want to add on that note or otherwise before I wrap up with the final pieces?
Yeah, let's see. It feels pretty complete.
I love it. Okay. So how can people find you, support you? What are you doing in the world? How can people get your medicine?
Yeah. So I do one-on-one sex and intimacy coaching in Austin, and also virtually for people who don't live here. I offer sacred bodywork sessions in Austin. And I also host Latihan monthly in Austin, which is a blindfolded movement meditation that is all about surrendering to the unknown and increasing your capacity to be fully present with what is. Aside from that, I have a couple other juicy offerings coming up. One of them is Hot as Fuck, which is a 6-week program starting in June for women who want to do the inner and outer work of being their fully expressed selves in the world. Yeah. And I'm sure you'll link to my Instagram. That's one of the best ways to stay tuned to what I'm offering.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you again, Julia, for joining me today.
My pleasure.
And I also want to express my gratitude to the listener. Thank you for opening yourself up to the idea of becoming, being, embodying hot as fuck. With so much gratitude and love, have a sexy and spiritual day, and I'll catch you next week on Talk Tantra to Me. Ta-ta. Oops, just kidding. Still here. I have one last thing for y'all. I want to say that the internet is a really, really special place. It's why we're all here right now. And many of us, including me, wouldn't have discovered Tantra or sacred sexuality if it weren't for this nifty invention of the 20th century. And almost none of you would have found my work and my vision without it. I love the internet, and I deeply desire to expand beyond it, to experience more real life, love, community, and connection. So I invite you to check out upcoming Tantra events at www.talktantratome.com/events or click the link in the show notes. I can't wait to give you a big squeeze in real life. Okay, now that's it. Ta-ta for real. Ta-ta.